Okay, Yehu had fulfilled his mission in ending the dynasty of Ahav. He did so quite violently. We ended up last class with that. Yeah. He dispatched all 70 of the sons of Ahav.
All 70 of them?
Mm-hmm. As well as Ahav's grandson, the king of Yehuda. And now let's see where this parak is going. It's taking a bit of a detour.
Did Yehu know that's his mission?
Yes, that's in fact when he turned bad himself afterwards, Hashem told him, "You fulfilled your mission. You had one mission, is to make sure that the line of Ahav is totally wiped out." Once he fulfilled that, he himself, as we often see in history, slackened. And Hashem said, "But you fulfilled that mission well. I will grant you." And he had the longest dynasty of the northern tribes. No dynasty had five kings from the same dynasty.
Who had the longest channel?
Yehu, Yehoahaz, Yehoash, Yerovam, Zechariah. No one had five kings from that dynasty.
So it was told to him by one of the Nevi'im?
Eliyahu told Elisha to assign that mission for Yehu.
By the way, there's another judge had and shot him 70 sons, Gideon.
Yeah, sure.
So he's not the only one.
Well, Gideon and Ahav shared a miserable common fate. The 70 sons of Gideon were also killed.
Elimelech.
Elimelech. Right, there we were killed by... Abimelech, yeah. They were killed by their brother. But in this case... Okay. All right, so let's continue. 10:15. Okay, everyone have it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too comfortable because we're about to move to a different place. I don't mean a different room, I mean a different place in Lachem. Vayelach misham vayimtza es Yehonadav ben Rechav. Then Yehu moved from there and met a man named Yehonadav ben Rechav, Likraso. Right? Right now we don't know who this is, but we'll find out. He blessed him and said, "Is your heart straight like mine is?" Now, what would that mean at that time? Does it mean are you morally inclined? It means, are you against Baal like I am? This is actually a famous saying. Yesh v'yesh. You ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yesh v'yesh. This is where it comes from. It means yes and heck yes. Right? Okay. Tzna es yodecha, give me your hand, v'yitein yodo v'yaleu elav el ha-merkava. And Yehu brought Yehonadav ben Rechav onto the Merkava. Rechav onto a Merkava. Little pun there, right? V'yomer l'cho iti u'rei b'kinosi l'Hashem v'yarkibu oso b'rechbo. And he said to him, Yehu said to Yehonadav, "Come with me and see how zealous I am for God." Right? And they went together in the church. And together with Yonadav ben Rechav, Yehu, there were other people besides those 70 sons, wouldn't you imagine? Might have been some cousins, some grandsons. No relative left from Yehu. Okay? Right?
Nobody's called Yonadav.
Well, there are Yonadavs in today, maybe not, but all right.
My sister's great-grandson, my step-great-grandson, is called Yonadav.
Yonadav, it's a nice name. Okay, please turn with me, if you will, to Yirmiyahu, chapter 35.
Wow. Wait a minute.
No, you don't have to, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yirmiyahu chapter 35. If you have the full Tanakh, just turn around a little bit. No, it's not going to be there, on the left side.
I don't know.
1156.
You want to do another one?
This is your
sitter. On the bottom.
Can we have one?
Oh, it's the mother. They come and go. People come and go.
For me.
Thank you.
Talk
on the beam and
pull the chair up.
I know. Let me see. Are we going back now?
Yeah.
What else? Where are we going? Zaharia? No. Yeah, me, yeah.
Okay. Please.
Iyov.
By the time of chapter 35 in this book, there have been lots of decrees that have already been set. And one thing you should know about this book is that there's no set order. You could be in one chapter and then just shortly afterwards find yourself 20 years earlier. And then the next chapter you are 40 years later. And the next chapter you're 20 years earlier. And there's no order whatsoever to this book. It's purposely done, the Chorah, to show how difficult it was for this in his circumstances to actually write. And
thank you very much.
This chapter happens to give you a heading. It says, Hadavar Asher Haya El Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem Bimei Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda Lemor, which means that this is somewhere in the middle of his prophecy. Yehoyakim became king in the year 609. Somewhere between 609 and 608. Right? Approximately 22 years before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say whether it was in the beginning of his time or the end of his time, but one thing you should know is that Yirmiyahu despised Jehoiakim. Anytime they had words, Yirmiyahu is basically telling them you're going to be destroyed and wiped out. Because Jehoiakim was just everything written about him in Melachim and Divrei Hayamim, was a miserable, miserable king. And Yirmiyahu addresses him specifically in chapter 22. It's with extreme vitriol. In chapter 26, Jehoiakim chased after Uriah to Egypt, who spoke a brief prophecy about the fall of Jerusalem. He caught him and killed him and sent his threw his corpse to the dogs. That's Jehoiakim, right? Okay.
His father was righteous.
Yes, Yoshiyahu was righteous.
Yoshiyahu.
Okay. Haloch el beis ha-rechavim v'dibarta osam. Go to the house of the Rechavim. That would be the descendants of this man we're just describing here, who helped Yehu wipe out Ahab. Go to their house. V'haveyosim beis Hashem elachas al shachos v'yishkisa osam yayin. Go to one of the wine cellars in the Beis HaMikdash and get wine and feed wine to the Rechavim. Okay, give them some wine. V'akachas yaznia ben Yirmiyahu ben Chavatzinya es echo ves kol bano ves kol beis HaRechavim v'avio sam beis Hashem el ishkas b'nei Chanan ben Yigad Layahu Isha Elokim asher eitza lishkas hasarim asher mimal lishkas maseyon ben Shalom Shomer Asaf. This is a rare case where Yirmiyahu was actually involved with the Beis HaMikdash. He's hardly ever had anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So he takes them all into some of these places. We are allowed to tread in the Beis HaMikdash, even if you're not a Kohen. And it says, V'atein lifnei b'nei beis harechavim gvi'im maleim yayin v'kosos. And I had all of these descendants of Yonadav ben Rechav lined up, seated, and I put cups in their hands. V'omar aleihem shesu yayin, and I said, drink the wine. V'yamru lo nishte yayin, we will not drink wine. Ki Yonadav ben Rechav, our guy, Avinu, our ancestor, our patriarch, tzivo aleinu lemor lo tishtu yayin, atem uvnechem ad olam. No descendant of mine may drink wine for the end of days. Ad olam. Ubayis lo tivnu, v'zera lo tizra'u, the kerem lo titau, v'lo yelochem ki ba'olim teishvu, kol yemechem. Do not build houses, do not sow seeds, do not plant vineyards. You shall have none of these things, but you shall reside in tents all your days.
The Anazir, the one Torah I ever gave recently, the Rambam says if you become a Nazir, the reason you have to bring a Korban Chatas, as against Rabbeinu Bechaya, he says because you're denying something that would be permitted to you, except it is permitted by definition for 30 days, but he seems to quote this. He says you'll start off saying no wine, no cutting the hair, and you'll end up saying we shouldn't have a bais noe, all the things that are said here. Is that what the Rambam is getting it from?
The Rambam and the Rabbeinu Bechaya you cite are two opinions in the Talmud, but both those opinions appear in the Rambam itself. The Rambam writes in a few places that it is sinful to deny yourself permitted pleasures. The Rambam himself, however, at the very end, the very last halacha in Hilchos Nazirus, says that if someone refrains from wine because he's afraid that if he gives in to this particular pleasure, it'll lead to other prohibited pleasures, then that is permitted to him, and he is considered a holy man. He says the lashon of nazir is lashon of nazir. His long hair becomes like a crown. That being said, the implication of this is that if the reason why he wants to become a nazir is to prohibit himself from permitted pleasures, not because he's afraid that he's going to. After all, the Gemara says that the parsha of sota and nazir are together in the Torah, right? To teach haroes sota b'kil kula yazir etatzmo min hayayin. If you're afraid that you might start to behave like this, then okay, at least stay away from wine. That's what Shimshon did. He was given to that behavior. So the Torah, the God in his infinite and everlasting wisdom, prohibited him from wine from the start. So what Tobin is saying is interesting, Tom. Based on this, what do you see that Yonadab ben Rechav was doing? First, he started. First, he started prohibiting himself from wine, and then look at all the other things he prohibited his family to. In fact, it's a strange coincidence. The Daf Yomi, a few days from now, is going to be speaking about the evil. It speaks of in evil terms of being a Bedouin, of not sowing the land and not taking root and not helping the land and just grabbing from the land now and then moving on to another place and grabbing there and having your sheep take whatever's there and then move to another place without ever making wherever you are to be better. You're just taking from the land and moving on. So it's interesting. It's the Daf Yomi just a few days from now. And so I would go along with all this and say it's the Rambam, but the problem is that our story here in Yirmiyahu is going to, in the very least, when it comes to the wine part, look up to these people for living up to their father's traditions, as opposed to the Israelites who are not. But that being said, it could be that for that in itself, that's a good thing if you stay away because if you're afraid what it'll do to you. But in this particular case, we see, and there is a medrash that, although in the text here we don't see anything, doesn't seem to have anything negative about them. Let's read further and see.
There's a Nazir Yerushalayim, and his son is Shayosha of Kohen,
yeah, famous.
Who didn't touch wine. So that comes from here.
Well, the problem with being a Nazir today is that we're all Tmei Mason. How can we be a Nazir today?
Yeah.
We live in Tuma. So whether or not there's a Nazir, there's certainly no such thing as a Nazir outside of Israel. Right. Anyway, but the point is that here this family had denied themselves not only of wine, but of all these regular things too.
Yeah, but the father, Yonadav ben Bechar, told them to do all that, leman tichyu yamim rabim, you have a prolonged life.
Right, okay.
How? If you don't...
Because you won't be so tied down to the... pleasures of life that distract you from the more important things. They just want no connection to the Havlei Hazman. Now that's not how we look at it in a classic sense in Judaism. You need shelter, you need a house, right? There is a Gemara that says that there's some people who prayed to destroy the Yetzer Hara, and Hashem said, are you sure you want to do that? And they said, okay, yeah, we'll destroy the Yetzer Hara. Okay, God said, all right, I'll help you destroy the Yetzer Hara. Then no chickens laid eggs. So it went all around, you know. So and lots of other things that didn't happen. But Lamaisa, we require some desire to have a little Olam Hazeh, as the Yerushalmi in the Dorim says. When we go up to stand at the heavenly bar of justice, one of the questions they'll ask us is, why didn't you have some of that permitted pleasure that you were allowed to? That's all you want, bunch of Schweig? Just a fresh roll with butter, that's all?
Are these Jews or non-Jews? I'm confused.
Good question. Yeah. They're not. Yonadab and Rechav is not Jewish. They are descended from?
Yitro.
Descendants of Yitro. Okay, let's go on. So he said, give them wine, and they refused. And they said, because our ancestor, our patriarch, Yonadab ben Rechav, said, we shall not build a house, we shall not sow seeds, we shall not plant a vineyard. None of these things shall be for you. Keep aholim teishvu. Kol yemechem. Laman tichyu yomim rabim al panei adama asher atem gorim sham. You shall reside in tents, so that you should live a long life, not worry with all the havle hazman, and just live off the land this way, and continue to live. V'nishma b'kol Yehonadav ben Rechav Avinu. So we heeded the voice of our patriarch, v'chol asher tzivon, for everything he commanded, v'dotish sosyayin kol yameinu, anachnu noshenu baneinu v'noseinu. We, our wives, our sons, our daughters, all our years we have stopped drinking wine. Now, if Yehu knew this Yonadav ben Rechav, how long has it been now? This is a good 150, 200 years.
Yeah.
Good 150 years. Right? You can look at the chart and see. From Yoash to Yehoyakim is at least 150 years. Let's take a look at Dell. See all those other. Look at Yehu and count the years to. Towards the end.
So it's another 250 or something.
Yeah, well, that's quite.
So this is aimed to test them, really.
Yes, so Yirmiyahu is trying to show some kind of message for the people of Israel who have hardly kept any traditions. Right? Oh, John, she went out the wrong way. Can you help? She has to go out the other way. Okay. All right, so we've been heeding them all these years to not drink wine. And we never built anything, any house, no fields, we don't plant anything. And we've been residing in tents. We've listened to everything that Yonadav, our father, told us. Now, remember again, these are not Jews. This is not a Jewish ideal. We're okay with this because it's right. These are.
Wait, Yonadav isn't Jewish?
No. He's descendant of Yisro. Now maybe there's some who from Yisro who converted, but.
So why are they up at Har HaBayit? Why are they in the Mikdash?
There are some places that no one said that they went into the Heichal here. There's some offices. Yeah, so the Goyim are Gentiles were allowed to sit there. Glenn, this would not be the Temple Mount itself. This would be like off to the side, like. Remember, you know when you if you would go,
is
keep
it
going.
Great,
yeah, okay, but it's fine. The full Har HaBayis, you can't even imagine the geography because the Romans quarried out so much of that area, right? But.
But don't we have the walls?
Right, so the walls, but they used to extend. They didn't have the walls there. Those walls, yes, were outside the Beis Mikdash. But they had walkways that went all the way across. Right. All the way across the Mount of Olives. So it was in that. There were those areas. Oh.
They did good things. You know, when Paro Melech Mitzrayim said, let's find a way against the Jews, Avanit Hakmalo, there were three. There was Bilam, and there was Eeyore, and there was Yitro. Right. And it was the only one who didn't stay, and he ran away.
And advised.
And then somebody also killed Sisera, so they have credit. Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah.
A descendant of Yisro killed Sisera, Ya'el, and Ashes Hever Akeni.
We have the old parasha of it.
Yep. Right. Okay, yes.
So was Yehu aware that Yehonadab was not there?
Yeah.
Recruited him?
Yeah, he's been a very famous famous person at the time. It must have been to command such respect 200 years later. It must have been something special. Let's continue reading about it.
That there were so few Jews who would have been available who would have joined his mission that he had to take somebody not Jewish?
Remember, this is a rebellion now. He'll take anyone he can get. So,
well, he was not yet declared king when he did that.
He's been crowned king, but not the unanimous king.
I'm still
in Lamed Hay.
Okay.
It says, "Vayhi ba'alot Nebuchadrezzar melech Babel," in Yirmiyahu he's called Nebuchadrezzar, "el ha'aretz v'anomer bo v'navo Yerushalayim mipnei chel ha'kastim mipnei chel ha'ram v'nei shev Yerushalayim." This pasuk seems to be out of its place.
Why okay. Nebuchadrezzar wasn't in Nebuchadrezzar?
In Yirmiyahu he's called Rezzar. Vayidvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu lemor. Komar Hashem tzvakos elokei Yisrael. Haloch v'amarto le'ishi hudal li'yoshvei Yerushalayim. Haloti k'chu musar li'shmo ez tivarai nyom Hashem. Why don't you guys take some instruction from this guy? Hukam es tivrei Yehonadab ben Rechav asher tziva es banav le'biltish sosyayin v'losha su'ar ayom hazeh. How many years ago? This guy's 200 years old already. I mean, it's 200 years that he did it. And is still, to this day, not drinking wine. Ki shamur es mitzvah sabiyem. V'anochti dvarti abal aleichem hashkem v'daber v'lo shmatem elai. And I have been telling you to listen to the word of God for how long, and you don't listen. V'shlach aleichem es kol avadai hanviyem hashkem v'shaloch. I sent you so many prophets, so many of my servants. And morning to night, hashkem v'shaloch leimor. Shvu noish mitakor rabbe itivu malalechem. V'al techu acharei elhim achreim lavdom. U'shvu ala demashin usati lachem lavosechem. I've been begging you all these years to change your ways, and nobody's listening. That's what this whole prophecy is about. To contrast Yonadav ben Rechav with the rest of with Bnei Israel. V'chein komar Hashem elokei tzvakos, Elokei Yisrael, and he may be at Yehuda ve'el kol yoshvei Yerushalayim, es kol haro asher dibarti aleihem. Yan dibarti aleihem v'lo shameyu ve'akor lehem v'lo anu. I keep calling and no one's answering. However, u'leveis harechavim, amar Yirmiyahu, kol mar Hashem tzvakos Elokei Yisrael. Yan asher shmatem al mitzvahs Yehonadav avichem, because you kept to the tradition of Yehonadav your father, v'tishmeru es kol mitzvosav, v'tasu k'chol asher tziva eschem, because you kept doing it's not a mitzvah of Hashem, it's a mitzvah of a tradition of the family, but it's respected. Always be someone from the house of Yonder Ben Rechav who will stand before me. What does that mean? Right, an identifiable line. Bedouins, there are Bedouins today who claim descendancy from this Yonadav.
Really?
Yeah. They say, this is a, you know, they have a famous story in the Bible. It's like Ishmael, maybe. Right? So, is this the fulfillment of this promise? Perhaps. But more important is that when Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy Yehuda and exiled them, they continued to be identified and remained. So here is an interesting thing. When Yehoyakim was king, Yirmiyahu was constantly warning the people that the Babylonians are coming and that they're going to destroy this place if you don't repent. Right? The people felt that the God who helped to destroy Egypt for us when we didn't have an army could certainly destroy the Babylonians for us when we do have an army. Right? So they were very firm that way, but Yirmiyahu says God can just flick the Babylonians away with his finger, but he'll only do that if you deserve it, and you don't deserve it. So here is a really an act of treachery. When Jehoiakim died, Nebuchadnezzar was ready to do everything Yirmiyahu said he was going to do. He was ready to, the exile should have been then. The Beis Mikdash would have been destroyed then. But Jehoiakim's brother, Tzidkiyahu, right, made a pact with the Babylonians that if I deliver Jehoiakim's son to you, to surrender to you, and allow you to publicly crown me as king, so that everyone in Israel understands that I am a puppet of yours, which is, as long as I get to be king, then put off, don't destroy us. And Tzidkiyahu thought he's doing a big favor for the Jews.
Mm-hmm. But he handed over his nephew.
Did
he kill?
He wasn't killed, he was taken captive. He remained in captivity for 37 years.
Are you allowed to do that?
These guys are not good people.
So you're not allowed.
It's not a good thing.
No, it's a tough thing if you really think there's going to be.
Sikyo did not feel himself constricted by your sense of morality. I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, of course. No, you're right. You're 100% right. But let's be fair to Sikyo, since Chazal seemed to be very kind to him. Although he looks like a terrible rogue in the Bible.
Wasn't his son killed in front of his eyes? Is that
two right? Sons.
Two sons, yeah. So he was paid back.
Oh, yeah. Yes, in kind. So when he delivered Jehoiachin to the Babylonians, don't you think that everyone saw that as a sure sign that Yirmiyahu is a liar? He said that the Babylonians are coming, and they're not coming. And Yirmiyahu said, I couldn't fathom that the king's brother would act with such treachery. Right, so that's what happened, and he staved off the end for another 11 years. But in defense of Tzidkiyahu, he's saying, okay, I'll deliver my nephew, I'll allow you to in the eyes of everybody to see me as a puppet, and at least we'll see. Maybe something bad will happen to the Babylonians. That could have happened had Tzidkiyahu just been a little more firm. He was such a weak king. A little more firm with setting the slaves free, chapter 34, the Haftorah of Mishpatim. This week's Haftorah, if it were a leap year, would be chapter 32, about Yirmiyahu's begging the people to let the land return to its original owner, to keep the Shemitah years, keep the Yovel years. It's a perfect Haftorah. Just we're not going to read it because Bahar and Chukos are together, but we're still reading from Yirmiyahu. Hashem Uzi Uma Uzi. So what he's saying here about the Rechavim surviving this is the Yehuda will not, but they were able to last another 11 years because of the treachery of Tzidkiyahu. Let's go back to our parak, please. We're now in Parak Yud of Malachim Bet. Pasuk Yud Chet.
We are in where?
And no one saw Tzidkiyahu's thing as a motivation for more power for himself as well. Like, I'm going to be not king.
You know, even if people did see it as that, which might have been even obvious, at that time, the evil kings did not have so many people to stand up to them. Tzidkiyahu at least at times allowed Yirmiyahu some chances to talk and to speak up. But Yirmiyahu at some point says, why should I bother telling you anything? You never listen to me anyway. Right? Okay, now I'll ask you this since you're asking Heather moral questions. Yehu is acting here in a way that appears to be immoral. It's a setup that's going on here. It's entrapment. There's no question it's entrapment. Are we allowed to do these things? Let's see what he's doing. I mean, suffice it to say, if someone offers you to do something that's illegal and forbidden, just don't do it. Don't say, well, he tempted me, enticed me. Just don't do it. Say, under no conditions will I do this. All right? Okay, let's see. Yehu Avdenu Harbei.
Right, what
chapter 10, verse 18.
18.
Yeah. Yehu gathered all the people into a central place. This is after he killed all the brothers of all the sons of Ahav. And he says, Ahav, worship Baal a little bit. Yehu is going to worship him a lot. Mila Baal Elah. V'atzah kol nevi'ei ha-baal, kol avdav, v'chol kohanav, kiru elai, ish al yipokeid, ki zevach gadol li la-baal. So he called over all the prophets, and all their servants, and all their kohanim, and all the worshippers, and he said, everybody come, because we're going to have a great, great festival today. And you did not want to miss the Baal festival. Use your wildest imagination.
It did, yes.
People were burning with passion.
Yes. Yes, it was the fires of Gehenna, the bonfires of Gehenna, and of the vanities. So he's saying, Ahav worshipped Baal a little bit, wait till you see what I'm going to do. Everybody, come on in. Kol asher yipokeid lo yichyeh. Now that's real entrapment.
That's not fair.
Whoever doesn't show up,
yeah.
You can get people say, I'm not even a Baal worshipper, but I didn't want to die. After all, if someone forces you to worship Avodah Zarah and you do, you don't get the death penalty for that. Someone forces you to kill and you kill someone. You're not a murderer. You didn't die al kiddush Hashem. So what is he saying? He said, if anybody doesn't come in, they will not live. See what Akba means? Rashi writes, he did this with guile and chicanery in order to root out. Now, in a way, isn't Eliyahu doing the same thing up there in the mountain? He knew what was going to happen. Didn't Moshe do that with Korach after all? Moshe knew what was going
to
happen to Korach.
He tried to convince Korach first not to do it.
Understood, right. But he knew that once Korach does this, this is not going to end well for him.
Yeah. Well, he tried to discourage him. Here he's saying, we're going to kill you if you don't come. It's pretty. It's like not no good.
Didn't Yehu already killed people on the Beit HaKav? How come he didn't
look for them? So it's not, it's not so pashut the way things spread, rumors spread, and he says, "Oh no, you have nothing to worry about. I'm on your side when it comes to Baal. Come on, let's have a festival." So he says, "Vayomer Yehu, katshu atzara l'Baal v'yikra'u." Katshu tzara. That's the same lashon that Yoel uses, right? Katshu tzom kiru atzara. Vayishlach Yehu bechol Yisrael. Vevo kol of de'Baal v'lo nishar ish asher lo ba. Vevo beis Baal v'yamalei beis Baal pelepeh. Wow. There was the house of Baal was filled mouth to mouth with
hella pass. Wow.
Like sardines. V'yamala asher al hameltecho.
Meltecho?
Not your standard Hebrew word.
Closet?
Wardrobe.
Oh.
Wardrobe.
Yeah, because they wore gowns and they had outfits.
The only place in the old Tanakh.
Meltecha, and I think it might be used elsewhere.
The Neil. Must be in another
place. Yeah. Otzei levush lechol avdei haBaal, vayotzei lahem halmabush. When you worship Baal, you wore a certain not a whole garment, but a certain identifying band or something like that. Okay. He wants to put it on them so they don't escape. They'll see who's doing what. Everyone that worships, come on and get your hand stabbed. Remember, if you say Shibboleth or Sibboleth, remember a way to tell who's getting what.
Right?
Only the worship.
And Yonadav ben Rechav and Yehu came in. Ve'yemer lo'ovdei ha'bal, chipsu re'u pen yesh po imachem me'avdei Hashem, ki mo'avdei ha'bal abadam. Everyone look in this room. Just make sure there's no servants of God. Because if there's anyone in this room who, even at this late moment, will admit to being a servant of Hashem, take him out. As if though, you know, what are they going to think? Well, we don't want someone who serves Hashem to see what goes on here. Right? I don't know, whatever it is. Obviously, the reason why he doesn't want them there is because he doesn't want to kill Ovdei Hashem. He just wants to kill Ovdei Habal. Right? Right? Put Zvachim and Olos, and Yehu took 80 men to stand outside. Why the number 80 is very interesting. Figure it out afterwards. Asher yimaleit min ha'anashim, asher ani mevi al yideichem, nafsho tachas nafsho. Yehu is really he's a tough guy. If I find out that any of you 80 let anybody free, I'll give your life instead of theirs. Wow. So even if you're inclined to let someone go, it wouldn't be smart of you because I'm going to make you take their place. He's really a tough guy, no?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Maybe you have the story that Claudius, the Roman emperor, Caligula.
Caligula.
He was once deathly ill.
Yeah.
And when he became improved, so one of his generals, his highest generals, came to him and said, "Oh, I prayed to the God every day of your illness that I should take your place." You see where this is going, right?
Oops, wrong words.
And I was so thrilled when I heard that you got better. And my prayers were answered. And he just did a second. He said 2 seconds. He said, kill him right now. He said, what are you doing? Is you two taking my place? So he's saying, if you let any one person free, I find out that you had a chance to kill any of the people who might try to escape when we burn this place, that you said, if you let anyone free, I'm going to put your life in his place. Mm-hmm. Don't cross this guy. Right? Okay. Right? He said, now it's time. Go in there and cause havoc in the middle of all of their licentious prayer. Right? And they smote them by the sword. And they chased them all the way out to the house of Baal. Matzvos, Matzvos, the Matzevos, you know, their altars and right? And they destroyed everything from the house of Baal. You see the Hebrew word there that's in the Masorah?
Machraot?
Yeah, that's even in modern Hebrew. That's
the
Vayesimu.
You know what that is?
Machraot.
So it's excrement. You're not supposed to say this. So the Tanakh changes the word. The Masorah, the Gemara at the end of the third parak in Maseches Megillah says, any bad words in Hebrew are changed. There are about four or five of them. Yishgalena, Yishkavena, right? Charyonim in Melachim Bet, Divyonim. They had it already when they were buying a handful of dove's dung. It says Charyonim, it changes it to Divyonim. Mm-hmm. Huh. Right? Masha Zav Minayona. So that's it says here. It says that they made it into a dung heap, which translates a latrine.
Right, okay. Privy, right.
Privy is okay.
Nice word is matzaot. It's very nice.
Better than machri. Yes. Vayashmei Yehu es habal mi Yisrael.
Rak chatoei Yeravim ben Nevat asher echtiyas Yisrael osar. Wow, just like this, all in the same pasuk. Do you recognize that something that was so commonly mentioned throughout Melachim Aleph after Yeravim became king hasn't been mentioned in perek after perek? Egel worship.
Yeah.
Or not even Egel worship. Now we're going to say Egle HaZahav. The base of Baal worship was much worse than Egel worship. Why?
Because the Egel Zahav, he only wanted that they should not go to Beit HaMikdash.
Right. Who is the object of the Egel worship?
Hashem. Yeah.
The Egel worship is Ela Elohecha Yisrael Asher Eluchem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's what they said in Shmos, and that's what Yeravim ben Nevat said in Melachim Aleph.
Yeah. Why are they saying they're worshipping calves, though?
They're not worshipping calves. They are directing their prayer and devotion to God through the calf.
So it's an intermediary.
Right. It's called Shituf in Hebrew. It's if you will, it's like Christianity. Right? They like claim...
Like a partnership.
Partnership, yes.
So not attributing any forces or power to the calf.
Not at all.
As opposed to the other one.
Not at all. As opposed to Baal, which is hardcore Avodah Zarah. It's a special Baal for practically everything.
So the Egel HaZahav was also, in a way...
This is according to the Kuzari and the, you know, the Mefarshim would say it's Shituf. But that appears to be this. It's Baal is much worse than Egel worship. And There's a third kind of prohibited service in Sefer Melachim, which is hardly mentioned at all these chapters. It's Bamot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Bamot, because Bamot is service to God, the God of Israel, the one who took us out of Egypt, on an altar to bring a korban to but outside the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, all the way up north and down and fine places. This one is closer here.
That's coming up.
Indeed.
Where was the temple of the Baal? What location was it?
This is.
This is in Shomron, no?
Of course, it is. It's someplace in Shomron. I'm not sure if they mentioned a name. Shomron, yeah.
Shomron,
Sari Israel, yeah.
Right.
Did you ever hear the story about two brothers who lived side by side? One had many, many children and a large family to feed, and one lived totally alone, all by himself. And they both had thousands and thousands of sheep. So one day, the brother who lives all by himself thinks, you know, my brother has all those kids to take care of him, to look after him. Who's going to look after me when I grow older? I'm going to start stealing one of my brother's sheep every night. And the other brother says, you know, I have so many mouths to feed, right? That guy is living all by himself. He doesn't have, who does he have to worry about? He's got all those sheep, my goodness, he's enough for 10,000 years. I'm going to steal one of his sheep every night, right? And they're stealing each other's sheep every night for year after year after year after year. And they see that it's not getting any, and they're not getting any more than they remembered having before. Year after year, it's staying the same. Until one night, after 10 years,
they meet,
and they realize what's been going on, and they start fighting and grabbing each other. And they grab each other so much that they started to bleed, and where the blood fell on the ground, Hashem said, that mountain right there where they're fighting, that's where I want to have the Knesset.
That's not the story I did.
But there is a story just the opposite.
That's careful what you say, Glenn.
And the lesson to you, because it has been
the true story is the one about the Beis HaMikdash.
That has done.
Where they were crying because they realized that they were giving each other one. All right, anyway. Okay, so, but he still allows the Egel worship. How do you figure that? So, it's not so hard to understand. Baal worship, that was his mission,
it's
to wipe
direct.
Out Baal
the
worship.
The other one is not direct.
He allowed Egel worship because, after all, it was so Shakua in Israel, in the north. Maybe he also felt like Yeravam, that if I allow people to go back to Yerushalayim, I won't have a kingdom at all myself. It was the popular thing amongst the people. What are you going to do? All these people lived in Haifa are going to start going down to Yerushalayim when they can just go to Dan.
5 minutes away. Come on. So that's it. He allowed the two calves to remain in Beit El. So remember Hashem El Yehu. Hashem said, either to Yehu or regarding Yehu, Yan Asher Hetibosela Sose Yashar Beinai, Kehola Shebil Babi Yossi Solabes Achav. You did fulfill what I had in store for you for the house of Achav. B'nei Rivi'im Yeshvu Lecha Al Kisei Yisrael. You will have four kings that rule on my throne, on the throne of Israel. V'yehu lo shamar lo leches petorat Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'chol b'vo. Lo sormei al chatos yirabam asher chatias Yisrael. All right, so he wasn't as bad as Achav. He was just as bad as, only as bad as Yirabam. Small favors. So, v'yamim ahem hechel Hashem lekatzos b'Yisrael. Okay, there you go. This is the end of the end, or the beginning of the end. Until then, I said about Yehu to a prophet. Until now, the borders of Israel have been extended beyond anything we've ever had. All the way up north, way out east, down south. Right, the borders of Israel were tremendous at this time, and Hashem says, "I've had enough. How many generations can I allow them to succeed and thrive?" Under these circumstances, immoral circumstances. So he says, "B'yamim ahem hechel Hashem lekatzos b'Yisrael." God started to cut up Israel. V'yakem Chazael b'chol gvul Yisrael. Chazael started. Remember who this Chazael is? Remember, he's the one that Elisha appointed.
That, and he said, "How could I imagine that I would ever do that?"
You were the one who appointed me king. He was just a general at the time. He was so thankful to be told this. Right? And Chazael started to fulfill this. All these areas outside of, let's say, Israel today, they started to chip away.
Chazael's from Iran?
Yeah, sure. V'yeser divrei Yehu v'chol asher asa v'chol gvur asa ha'loim k'suvim al sefer divrei ha'yamim l'malchei Yisrael. וישכב יהיו עם אבוסיו, ויקברו עושו בשומרון, וימלוך יהיו אחוז בנו תחתיו, וימים השם הלך יהיו על ישראל 28 שנה בשומרון. Rule 28 years. Now, this is not something I've done so far, because Divrei Hayomim does not really elaborate so much on Elisha and Eliyahu's activities. But they do elaborate on this part of Tanakh. So next class, since we're already finished almost with the Elisha's dying soon. Next class, we will be doing Divrei Hayamim. And tonight we did a little Yirmiyahu, a little Malachim. Next class, I want to discuss this time period, the queenship of Atalia. Also from Divrei Hayamim. What's amazing is, in the middle of that story, Eliyahu appears. That's what Ibn Ezra uses in his parish to Sefer Malachi on the Pasuk Hineinuchi Shalech Lachem Es Le'anavi to agree. Ibn Ezra is the Pashtan, the rationalist. He said, this is why everybody talks about Eliyahu being around in perpetuity. He goes up to Shemayim in the Merkava and he's long gone by the time of these narratives. And he'll appear in Divrei Hayamim.
But then they speak. We just had Lag BaOmer, and didn't Eliyahu come to the Me'ara and said that the Caesar died? You can come out.
Eliyahu all over. He's all over the place.
And
he was just here last week at the Bris. Yeah.
Right.
I could swear my grandchildren said they saw the cup moving when he came in.